Good morning to everyone. Happy New Year. Greet your neighbor and say, Happy New Year. Well, can you believe it? That not only the year is ending, but a decade is ending. We're entering into a new decade. And the year 2020, and the years go by so fast. And 2019 is over. But think about just the 2010 to all the way to 2019, just the 10 years, or 9 to 10 years that has passed us. And so much to thank God for. So much has happened. So much has transpired. And so much dealings of the Lord in our lives. And we can all just declare amazing grace. And God is faithful to us. How many here believe that God is faithful? God has been faithful to all of us. And I just want to praise Him. And I'm privileged, Pastor GP. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here. Actually, I was here a month ago, even as Pastor GP said. When we were here a month ago, we did not plan to come back here for the holidays. But what had happened, I have 5 children, for some of you know, all of them are out of the house. 2 of my children are in Spain for work, and I have another one, some part of the Philippines, is in Bacolod. And then my other son with his family, they went for a holiday. So it was just my wife and myself and Sabina back home. So we said to ourselves, we can't just stay home and you know, be lonely. And then some of my friends, from Edwin and Sue to Adrian and Pansy, who goes to the 11, said, why don't you come over? And then we just decided, I said, I'll give you a week. And then after a week, we just decided to come here for holiday. So I'm back. Praise God. And so I believe that God is not a God of coincidence. I believe that God's a God of purpose. So the reason why I'm here today, because I do believe that God has a word for us. I believe that God has a word for each and every one of us and as a church. And God gave me a word for all of us today. Are you guys ready for the word? Yes. Praise God. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the past year, the past years, O God. Lord, you have been faithful. You walked with us, O God. You blessed us. Yes, Lord, we've gone through difficult times. But Lord, you never left us. You've never forsaken us. But you were with us. So Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for everything that you've done. Yes, in the midst of our own unfaithfulness, you remain faithful. In the midst of us doubting you, but you never doubted us. You always believed in us, O God. And so, Lord, we look back, O God, at the last 10 years and say thank you. And so, Lord, as we enter into a new decade, help us and understand your grace and understand who you are. And so, Lord, I commit this time to you today. Lord, I pray that you would impart faith, O God, to us today. Even for those, oh God, that are having difficulty in their faith, oh God, I pray that you would give us faith today in the name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. 2020, the year 2020. You know, some of us are familiar with the year, well, not year, but the fraction 2020. And sometimes that term is actually used by, what do you call those doctors that treat the eyes? Optometrists? You know, optometrists use that to measure our eye sharpness. And we normally go, anybody here? My daughter went to the eye clinic just a week ago to renew or to adjust the grade on her eyeglasses. And so we had to sit down on that chair, and they had to check the left eye and the right eye. And it's so funny, they have this contraption, they have this spectacle that they use, and they go out with thick thing. They would go out and she would always kind of check her vision, if the vision was really good or bad, and see if she would be dizzy or not. And so the optometrist would check the eyes, and they would make an assessment and basically say that your eye is this, your eye is that. And if you have clear vision, or if you have a clear or sharpness, not clear vision, but sharpness, they call it 20/20. Now, what is 20/20 in the lingo of the optometrist? 20/20, the number above, is measured by 20 feet. Okay, 20 feet. So if you're going to check your eyes, it's 20 feet in distance. And then you notice, if you have, and then you go to the test, and there are different rows. of your eye. You read E, F, P, and you read all those that. But if you reach the fourth level from the bottom, if you get to read that, the fourth level from the bottom, you're 2020. But if you read lower than the fourth bottom from below, you're actually called 2015. Your vision is greater. So my prayer is that God would be the optometrist and see and determine what we see. Okay? So my prayer is that God would check our eyes to be able to see Him. How clear do we see God for the next year? Now, when talking about the new year, some people have different reactions when it comes to the new year. Some people are excited, or maybe people in church or preachers would say, exciting year for the new year. You know, people hear that all the time. But I would suspect that there are people in the church that doesn't get excited for the new year. I mean, if you're really going to be honest, some people are just going to be, what's the fuss about new year? I mean, it's just the same. My situations don't change. My problems don't disappear. My husband is still the same. My wife is still the same. Oh, my wife doesn't change. And sometimes we kind of hear a message and say, okay, it's a new year, but nothing is new in my situation. So people don't get excited about the new year. And some people say that it's just hype. It's just something that people talk about because it's good to talk about. We need to have great faith. We hype things up. But my prayer is this, that we would not hype anything for the new year, but that God would do a deep work in us to give us clarity of vision. I'm reminded of, this is not my notes now, but I'm reminded in Mark 8. Remember that story when Jesus was in Bethsaida when he went to this blind man who could not see? And the Bible says that this blind man was led by Jesus out of the village and he uses saliva to touch the man's eyes. And then Jesus asked him, what do you see? He said, I see people, but they look like trees. Can you imagine? His eyes were opened, but he did not see clearly. And some of us are in that stage today. We're in that stage today, you don't see clearly because you look at your situation and say, nothing has changed. You don't see anything clear. But the Bible tells us in Mark 8, he touched him again, and everything he saw was clear this time. He had 20/20 sharpness. And my prayer is that God would give us 20/20 sharpness. And what I want to talk about today is a man by the name of Gideon. Everybody say Gideon. Gideon is a man like us. He wasn't excited for the future. He wasn't excited for the new year. He wasn't excited for the new decade. There was nothing exciting because everything he saw was bad. Anybody here has been to that place before that everything you see is bad? Everything you see, my family is bad, my finances are bad. I mean, everything you saw was not good. And so in Judges chapter 6, I'm reading from the NIV. I'm going to read verses 11 to 14. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizurite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" This is a very interesting part because Judges was really a book about leadership. If you survey the book of Judges, you will find that there were 12 individuals that God raised up into leadership. Because every time the people of God cried, God sent a man. That has been the pattern of God all the time. When people cry out, God sends a man. When people were crying out because of their sins, God sent a son by the name of Jesus Christ to save us. So that has been the pattern of God. Now, in this particular case, the Bible tells us that the Israelites did evil again. That God allowed the Midianites to oppress them. They were so oppressed that the Israelites were hiding in caves. They were so afraid they were hiding in caves. And the Midianites occupied the land of the Israelites, occupied the crops, the land that were supposed to, for crops to grow. They would occupy that land and destroy the land. So there were no crops for the Israelites. There was nothing that was left for the Midianites. That the Bible tells us that the Israelites cried out to God. If we're going to start the year right, we need to start out by crying out to God. You don't have to have a crisis to cry out to God. But crying out to God is the best way to start anything that you do for God. Anything that you want to do, the best way to start is to cry out to God. But in this context, they were crying out to God because they were oppressed and they were desperate for change. They were desperate for things to turn around. And then God himself, through an angel, comes to appear to Gideon in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, remember, when they cried out, God came and answered and answered by sending a man. So in response to the crying out, he appears to Gideon and tells Gideon a very unusual greeting. Very unusual greeting. He says, "The Lord is with you." You notice that the Lord did not tell Gideon what he needs to do first. But the first thing that Gideon had to hear was who he was with. Coming into the new year, it's not so much, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" But coming into the new year, it should be realizing who is with you. So he tells Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." There are three things I'm going to talk about this morning very quickly. I don't have time to go through the book of Judges, but there are three things. The first one is this: it takes faith to see ourselves the way God sees us. Did you know that it takes faith to see ourselves the way God sees us? But he tells him, "The Lord is with you," which I'll elaborate on later on. But he calls him mighty warrior. Anybody here ever complimented you and you did not believe it? Anybody here ever compliment you and you heard that compliment and you said, "Are you telling me the truth?" In the Philippines, I don't know about here in Malaysia, they say the opposite. I don't know about here in Malaysia. In the Philippines, they say you're opposite. If you're kind of chubby, the people come to, "Oh, you're looking thin today." And if the way we name our dogs in the Philippines, if we had the Doberman, sometimes some Filipino families would call the Doberman tiny. And sometimes if you have a little dog, they'll sometimes name the little dog Shaquille. For those of you that know Shaquille, Shaquille O'Neal is a big guy, 7'2" of the NBA. He's a giant. Names a dog, a little dog, Shaq, Shaquille. So it's kind of opposite. And sometimes when we hear a word that's spoken to you, with the tendency is that we don't believe it. Did somebody ever come to you and tell you that you're great, that you can do things for God? And sometimes in the back of your mind, you kind of listen to that and say, "This guy is just flattering me, and this guy is just saying things that it's not even true." Have you been in that place before where you felt like people were joking about who you are? But let me tell you, God doesn't joke the way we joke. God is not the type of God who tells you something but doesn't mean it. When God looked at Gideon, when he said, I'm with you and you're a mighty warrior. He wasn't mincing words. He wasn't just trying to lift up Gideon. No, 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 no. He looked at Gideon and said, you're a mighty warrior. Now, the funny thing about this, Gideon has not done anything. Gideon has done nothing of ministry yet. Gideon has done nothing of great significance. There was nothing to boast about in Gideon. And yet, God looked at him and said, mighty warrior. Coming into the new year takes great faith to be able to see the way God sees us. You see, conquering negativity about ourselves is the first step to conquering. So whatever negativity about who you are is really the first step to conquering. If you want to conquer your business, you want to conquer the campus, if you're a student, if you want to conquer the nation, if you want to conquer anything in life, the first step of conquering is conquering negativity about who you are. I got this quote, but it didn't make it to the keynote. You don't need a new year or a new day to start over. You only need a new mindset. Let me say that again. You don't need a new year or a new day to start over. You just need a new mindset. And some of us, our mindset, they're so warped up. Our perspective of who God is and who we are is so warped up. The reason why changes hasn't happened to us because we think of so much negativity about us, about ourselves. That's why before Gideon did anything great for God, God had to speak to him and tell him, you're a mighty warrior. You're somebody. And sometimes we cringe with the thought that I'm that. God himself did that to his son Jesus. When Jesus, before he did any ministry, he spoke to me, he said, this is my son in whom I love, in him I'm well pleased. That was before Jesus did any ministry. Think about that. Think about your life. Your acceptance of God is not dependent on your accomplishments or the lack of it. You're sitting here today, Pastor, you're saying, but you know, some people are small group leaders and all that, you know. Yeah, because they probably believe there's somebody in Christ. Are you still with me? So just like Gideon, just like us, Gideon, in a human argument, he tells God in verse 13, he says, pardon me, or he says, excuse me. Anybody here ever said that? Anyway, we don't use that word anymore, pardon me. But we use, excuse me, when somebody say, hey, you're good, you look good today. It's so funny because sometimes some kids, I have nieces, you know, they have small kids. And in the mall, there's a, are you guys familiar with Nespresso, you know, that machine? And who's the model there, the Nespresso model? Do you see it here? The model there is George Clooney. So my niece would come to me and tell me, say, Uncle, I saw your picture. I said, where? He looked at me, he showed me a picture, it's George Clooney. And I didn't say, excuse me. I didn't say, pardon me. Because I took it as a compliment. But Gideon, after the Lord tells him, hey, mighty warrior. What did you do? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a mighty warrior. Tell that person, you're a mighty warrior. How do you feel when that person told you? Do you feel a sense of disbelief sometimes when people tell you that? Look at Gideon. He says, excuse me, Lord. Pardon me, Lord. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, now he is now looking out at the community. He's looking now at the Israelites. Oh, Lord, you're with me, but what about us? Why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Now, I want you to understand the context of this now was that the people of God sinned and they were into idolatry and they were into all these practices that was detestable to the Lord. they abandoned the Lord. So in a sense that they were in this predicament because of their own actions. It wasn't because of God wanting them to be there, but because of them, their hearts were far away from God. You see, sometimes we get into trouble and we look at our circumstances. That's why it doesn't jive. It doesn't match up. Mighty Warrior, and then you look at your life. It doesn't match up. My being Mighty Warrior and my circumstances doesn't match up. And we kind of dismiss the word God gave us because we looked at our circumstances and said, Lord, what has happened? And he says, and he made conclusions about his situation. He made conclusions about God. He said, but now the Lord has abandoned us. Some of us are like Gideon. He wasn't excited about the future. He wasn't excited for a new year. The Lord has abandoned us. Maybe you're here today, you made conclusions about God. Your view of God is so negative that you could not see the future. But the funny thing about this, God doesn't change his view of us, even if we have a negative view of God. Gideon had a negative view of God, but God did not have a negative view of Gideon. God still called him Mighty Warrior, in spite of him having a negative view of God. He viewed God, God, you abandoned us. But God said, you're a mighty warrior. And my prayer is that God would change our view of God. It's a new mindset. And then, in verse 14, the Lord has a sense of humor, don't you think? He tells the Lord, Lord, why all these things have happened? And then the Lord looks at him in verse 14, and the Lord turned to him and said, go! He said, go in the strength you have. And save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? It's funny how God responds to Gideon's questions. And God's answer was go. You want a word from the Lord for next year? Could be the word is go. Go. I don't know where. Your go can mean different from person to person. The go could be maybe go to missions, go do a Bible study, go be a small group leader, go whatever that may be. He tells him to go. And the funny thing about it, he tells him, go with the strength you have. Gideon kind of, if God comes to me and tells me, go with the strength you have, I said, me? Lord? Me? Me? Strength? I don't have strength. Actually, if you want strength, is found in verse 12. When God said, the Lord is with you. You see, the source of our strength is that realization that God is with you. Guys, the next decade, the year 2020, is a good year because God is with you. Not because of your circumstances, but because God is with you. So he tells Gideon and tells him, go with the strength you have. And then Gideon makes all these excuses and said, Lord, pardon me again. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family. How many here sometimes look at your family line, look at your educational attainment? Sometimes you look at your social upbringing. Sometimes you look at your IQ test or your entrance examination test, and sometimes you determine your worth and value because of how you perform. And Manasseh looked at his family line and said, oh, we're the weakest. We're the least. But you see, calling is not dependent on your family background. Calling is not dependent on what you've accomplished or what wherever ladder that you reached is not dependent on that. Which brings me to my number two point. It takes faith to do what God has called us to do. It takes faith to do what God has called us to do. You see, every time God promises His presence, if you look at the, I don't know if I mentioned this the last time I was here, but I was just so touched when you look at the phrase, I'm with you, my presence is with you. Every time God promises His presence, is always or almost attached to an assignment. Let me read that. God's promise to be with us is almost always attached to an assignment. Amen. Everybody say amen. We don't have time to look at this. Right after this encounter, he realizes, Gideon realizes that that angel he was talking to was God himself. Gideon realized that the angel he was talking to was God himself. And he was so shocked that he said to God, God, I'm going to die. Because every time who sees God dies because he didn't deserve it. That's why I like it in Judges chapter 6, verse 24 and 20, 24 says here, when Gideon encountered the living God, but the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it stands in Oprah of the Abizarites. What happened to Gideon? He encounters the living God. He encounters the grace of God. Remember, we're talking about amazing grace for the next year. When you encounter the grace of God, you see, encountering the grace of God is realizing you don't deserve a thing. All the blessings that you had 2019, you don't even deserve it. Me standing here to preach, I don't deserve. That's amazing grace. Gideon found out that the angel was God himself and he deserved to die. And God said, no, you don't have to die. And Gideon called that place for the first time, peace. And sometimes we talk about peace, peace man. We say peace man. Sometimes we have a negative concept of peace. But peace was just, but God, thank you, I deserve to die, but Lord, you brought peace. He encounters God. You see, our encounters with God emboldens us to face our greatest fears. Gideon's greatest fear, that was even before the battle. Gideon's greatest fear was confronting his father. The funny thing about this, the Lord tells Gideon, go to your father's idol and smash the idol of your father. Of course, please don't go home to do that, okay? You know, don't go home, okay? The pastor's there, go to your father and smash the idols of your father. I'm not saying that, but God tells Gideon to go home and smash the idols of his father. And then he does it. He brings 10 of his friends, 10 of his servants. They went at night and they smashed the idol. And after smashing the idol, they woke up in the morning, the whole village, it was an uproar. It's all in Judges chapter 6. You can all read that. The whole village was in uproar. They were saying, who smashed the idol? Who smashed the idol? They were all afraid. And then they found out it was Gideon who smashed the idol. And they demanded the father, Joash, the father said, hey, come here, Mr. Joash. Take your son out of here. He is guilty. We need to punish him. The father ends up defending his son. He said, if our God is truly God, then he can defend himself. What happened to Gideon? His encounter with God emboldened him to face his greatest fear. Maybe you're here today, you've been afraid. The past years, maybe the last, maybe fear has gripped you from doing what God has called you to do. I pray that you would encounter God so that you can do what God has called you to do. Because it takes faith to do what God has called you to do. And then, how many like stories in Scripture? Is it okay? I'm just telling you the story. And then in Judges 7, it's a long story. That's why if you read Judges 6 and 7, it's a story to read. And in Judges 7, he was about to go to war against the Midianites. Remember, the Midianites, they were big and they were strong. The Midianites numbered to about 135,000 in foot soldiers. Everybody say 135,000. That was a lot. How many of that's a lot of people? Versus Gideon's army. Gideon's army was 32,000. Now, if you look, if you were going to bet, if you guys were going to watch a fight, if you're going to bet, I don't know about you, if you chicken fight and all that, people, you go to the arena cockfighting and they would bet, you know, I don't know what they call it here, but it's a puti, it's a pula, you know, the red, you know, they bet. You bet on a fighter who you think would win, who had the better chances of winning. But if you're going to look at this fight, the Midianites, 135,000, Gideon's army, 32,000. And Gideon was already, Lord, how am I going to fight this? And the Lord tells Gideon, Gideon, your army too big. He said, scratches his head. Lord, what are you talking about, Lord? What are you talking about too big? And he tells Gideon, okay, I want you now to tell the army, your 32,000 that you think is your army. I want you now to tell them, those that are afraid, tell them to go home. So he goes to the microphone, okay, army, praise God. For those of you that are afraid to die, you can go home. Guess what? 22,000 of them walk out. Can you imagine how discouraging that would have been for Gideon? But God in his throne, he was saying, yes! God was so excited that 22,000 cowards, fearful. And if I were there, I would probably be one of the 22,000 leaving. I would probably be terrified. I would probably be afraid. And Gideon in his mind, wow, I have 22,000 left against 135,000. And then God comes to Gideon and tells him, too big. What? Too big? He scratches his head. And then, this is how you're going to know who's going to stay, who's going to be your army. He goes to the river and he tells them that those that drink like a dog, that lap like a dog, you're not going to take them. And those that will drink the water by using their hand, those are the ones are going to stay. So can you imagine Gideon was kind of watching them how to drink? Can you watching people how to drink? Oh, please, 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 people that drink by the hand. I'm just having my sanctified imagination, okay? If you were Gideon, you would probably think, I pray that there were more people that drank using their hand. Bible tells us, majority, most of them, in the thousands, drank the water like a dog. And you know how many left with Gideon? There were 300. Think about 300 against 135,000 versus 300. Now, if you look at me, if you look at that statistic, who would win? Who would win? The Midianites or the Israelites? The Midianites would win with 135,000 army strong versus 300. But God said, that's exactly where I want you to be. God can do more with our less. You look at your resources, you look at your circumstances, you say, Lord, I don't have much. But you know what? To the Lord, your nothing is God's something. Your less is God's much. You think you don't have anything? Think again. You have God on your side. Which brings me to my third point. It takes faith to trust God's way. It takes faith to trust God's way. As I conclude this story and this message for this morning, you see, You don't need a new year or a new day to start over. You need a new perspective on who God is and who you are. The next decade is not going to be easy. Let me say this. Don't get angry with me. Because the next year is going to be great, but there's going to be problems. There's going to be times of difficulty. There's going to be ups and downs. It's not going to be constant. But you have a God who's with you, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. He's with you. And remember, you're a mighty warrior. Amen. I'd like the music team to come up now. Can we all close our eyes? This morning, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Father, I ask you today, Lord God, that you would change our perspective. Change the negativity, Father God, because we know that the first step to conquering is conquering negativity about us. So, Lord, today I pray that you help us change the way we see you and the way we see ourselves coming into the new year. Erase the confessions that we've made about us, the confessions we've made about God. Gideon confessed the Lord has abandoned us. But in reality, the Lord has never abandoned his people. The reality, Lord God, you've never abandoned us. So Lord, I pray today that you would do a deep work in changing the way we think, changing our perspective, our mindset. I want everybody to lay hands on your head right now. Lay hands on your head. Father God, Lord, change our mindset right now. And lay hands on your eyes right now. Lord, lay hands on my eyes, oh God, that we would see clearly. See you, Lord God, as clear as possible. The man in Mark 8, oh God, when you spit saliva, his eyes were open again, and so clearly, Lord God, I pray that we would see who you are. When he opened his eyes, the first thing he saw, when his eyes saw clearly, was you. Lord, I pray today that we would see you coming into the next decade, oh God, and we would see a clear vision of who you are. I speak a blessing over every nation, Penang. Thank you, Father God, for GP and Miyok and their leadership, oh God. Continue to bless this couple, oh God, that they may see you clearly. In Jesus' name. And everybody say a big amen.